Okay, it is time for Humboldt Baywatch here on KM, and I have got Michelle Kuntz just in time. Oh my God, I'm sorry, Michelle. The call kept failing, and I was going, oh my God, go through, go through.
No worries.
Good, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm okay, coming off of the sickness that everybody had. But just in time, I got to be sick through all the beautiful weather, just in time for it to start raining and being cold again.
Perfect.
Yeah. Have you been able to get out and do anything in the nice weather?
Yeah. I actually just spent a week down in the Bay Area, and while it was a little rainy down there too, they're just a little ahead in spring, so all the hills are super green and there's flowers coming out, and that was really nice, kind of like leap forward in time.
Yeah, well, it's kind of that time where you get the spring, maybe not that you want, but that you deserve, right? It's like we've got to have a little bit of cold and a little bit of rain, but I'm excited to see where this is going. So speaking of that, normally we like have a little chat about what we're going to talk about. I don't even know what we're going to chat about today. So we're making it happen.
Yeah, well, let me tell you all about it. So this winter I have gone into clamming with a friend of mine, and it's been a really fun new activity to learn about, and it's kind of opened up this new ecosystem to me that I haven't really spent much time in before, and that's like mud flats in Humboldt Bay. So we were digging for clams that live like more in the bay rather than along the ocean, and we were going to King Salmon, which is like, you know, the south end of Humboldt Bay, south of Eureka a little ways. Mm-hmm. And you know, we're digging for clams, and it's really fun, but then I'm keep seeing these amazing creatures called moon snails, which I've been wanting to see for forever, really. I'd seen them up in Alaska, but a different species that is smaller, like the shell, the snail is about an inch across. But these other moon snails, I'd seen their shells wash up, but never seen a live creature until just a few weeks ago out at King Salmon. And so to kind of like paint you a picture of what they look like and how cool they are, the shell themselves of the snail is like about the size of a large grapefruit. So they're really big.
Wow.
Yeah, compared to like a garden snail, which also is about like an inch across.
Whoa.
These moon snails, the species that lives in our mud flats around here is called Lewis's mud snail, or sorry, moon snail. And yeah, so about the size of a grapefruit. So the shell themselves is really large, but then the other really interesting thing about them is that, you know, the like slimy part. Oh, sorry, I'm getting another call. I'll ignore it.
Put them on the line. Maybe really... they know about moon snails.
Yeah, welcome to the radio.
Yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, the other really cool thing about them is that they, you know, like snails have the slimy part that comes out of the shell. That's called the foot. Mm-hmm. And so the moon snail's foot is really huge also. So they can get so big because it's like porous, and so they fill their foot with water. And so the moon snail with its foot extended can be like close to fully extended a foot long. Imagine like grapefruit size shell with its foot extending several inches on either side, and then it kind of like wraps around the shell itself, so about like halfway up the shell. So there's this like really gooey, mucousy foot that extends far wider than the shell and up the shell itself.
Wow.
It's very bizarre looking.
Yeah, looking at these things, it looks, before you told me the scale, I saw a couple pictures and I thought it was a regular sized snail. And I thought, that's an odd looking snail. Now I see though with the scale, it's the size of somebody's hand. And I find it interesting that snails would be on the sand in general, because they're kind of like wet, mucousy things. Aren't they just kind of covered in sand? Like, that seems like such an odd sand creature in my mind. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. They're very bizarre. So what they're doing out there, they are eating primarily clams, okay, which live under the sand. And so that big fleshy foot is, you know, gets kind of like full of water, and they're able to use it to dig through the sand, to basically plow through the sand. So there's this really interesting process where they kind of absorb water into their foot, and then it expands and then retracts. And so they like do that throughout their whole foot, and it basically moves sand away from them, and they're able to dig under the sand and reach clams. And so they are living, larger adults are living in the intertidal zone, especially during breeding season. But a lot of times they're further out, so you probably wouldn't see them at certain parts of the year. They're, you know, subtidal in Humboldt Bay. But when they're out and they're feeding on clams, I was seeing them at really like negative low tides at King Salmon, so you wouldn't see them at high tide. But yeah, so their whole day, their whole life is basically just crawling around under the sand, either kind of like half submerged under the sand or fully submerged under the sand, looking for clams. And the way that they feed is also really interesting. Like I mentioned, they have that fleshy, mucousy foot that they use to dig under the sand to access clams. But then they also use that foot to kind of envelop the clam itself, get like a good grip on it. And then the snail has, as well as all mollusks, have a radula, which is their feeding appendage, which is like a tiny spool of hard materials, like hard teeth on this spool. And they use that to grind away this perfect little hole in the clam. And it has, you can actually see sometimes on the beach clams washed up with this tiny perfect hole, perfectly circular with kind of an inwardly beveled edge. And then they excrete enzymes, digestive enzymes, and also even hydrochloric acid, I learned this morning,
Ooh.
into the clam's body to digest it. And that will take multiple days.
Oh,
So they're like
God.
slowly drilling away a few millimeters a day until they're finally into the clam shell, and then they're excreting enzymes and hydrochloric acid to digest the clam.
So they're digesting the clam because hydrochloric acid, if I remember, is the stuff that's inside of our stomachs. So they're like outside digesting the clam while it's still in its clamshell and then sucking it up.
Yeah. And I also read
Rude.
that
That's
sometimes
rude.
they could also just like suffocate the clam by wrapping its foot around the clam, and to the point where the clam can't breathe anymore because they've pulled their siphon into their bodies to protect themselves. And so I think sometimes maybe they're killing their prey by just suffocating them, at which point their shells will just kind of loosen up and open, and then probably the snail can just, you know, it's a bit more easier access that way. But they can really use that radula to drill a hole and digest through the hole.
Brutal. Who would guess? Who would guess that these things are such like predators?
They are predators, yeah.
Wow. So, okay, when you said basically everything that you've said has been like, wait, what? What? I'm very confused about all of this. First of all, the fact that like a mucus foot can open a clam is like crazy to me in general. But you said that they live both under the sand and in the intertidal zone. What are they breathing? Air, water? How are they getting oxygen?
That's a great question, because they can live subtidally, and so they're not, you know, they're not breathing air, but they're probably just respiring through, you know, through the water, like most subtidal animals.
Okay. Because I don't see, when I look at a snail, I get confused, as I think many do. Like where, kind of where its face, does it have these in particular? I'm not seeing, does it have an eye side to it or a, because it wraps around it. It's unlike any snail I've ever seen.
Yeah. And so they can actually pull that whole foot inside of their shell and
Okay.
close off their bodies. So that, you know, they're similar body structure to every other snail. It's just that their foot is like massive, and it can really expand and get pumped full of water, but then it can also retract and go back into its shell. And then they have a little structure called an operculum, which all snails have, that is like this little shell door that basically closes the opening of the snail so they can retract back in there. But they do have little antennas like most snails have. It's not like, you know, long points at the end of the, you know, the front of the what mm-hmm. you would think of as face, but they're in there kind of all enfolded in the flesh of the foot.
Okay. I kind of see now.
Yeah.
Now, another question, you said there's a mating season. What are they doing?
Yeah. So there's male and female snails. I think that the mating season is not a very like strict time period, because when I was out there, I think that was maybe in February and March, I was seeing the moon snails out and I was seeing their egg cases too, which I also want to talk a little bit more about in a second here. Mm-hmm. But what I was reading online is that breeding season is like spring and then there's baby moon snails out there in the summer. So that doesn't really line up with what I was seeing. So maybe just because we're in a fairly mild climate, mm-hmm. you know, they were out there breeding early. But I think the best way that somebody could maybe identify a moon snail is through their egg cases, because they are often washing up on the beach, especially in Humboldt Bay. And people might have seen them before. They almost look like trash, which is very fascinating. I'll try to explain how they look because they're very bizarre. But they are called sand collars because they're kind of in the shape of what like those removable collars are, you know, that you could like place a collar under your shirt in the old days and
Dickies.
Then, you know, switch out your collar.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
A dickie.
So it's like perfectly curved and it's full of sand. So it's kind of this like stiff rubbery material that's in this circular coil collar shaped. And it has very like this smooth layer of sand. And so the moon snail, a female moon snail, has eggs internally inside her body that get fertilized by a male snail, and then she's ready to lay her egg case. And what she does is, using her very mucousy foot, she lines her own shell in this layer of mucus and then attaches sand to that layer. And then it becomes this one layer, and then she lays thousands and thousands of eggs, fertilized eggs, onto the sandy mucus layer, and then lays another mucus sandy layer on top of that. So the eggs are kind of encased in this double layer of sandy mucus, and it's wrapped around her body. So you can imagine like this curved collar wrapped around a large snail, and then that solidifies, and then it drifts out, and then it's kind of drifting in the ocean for some time, several weeks. And that's what folks will often see washed up on the beach, this gray, smooth, plastic-like collar. And then slowly the collar will decompose into the sand, and then larval snails will kind of drift in the ocean or in the bay for like maybe about a month or two until they develop a little bit larger and can settle onto the ground. And then the juvenile moon snails are more subtitle out in the deeper parts of the bay, in the ocean, and then once they get larger, they'll come into the intertidal zone.
Gotcha. And they do, that's a good thing to tell people that these are not garbage, because they do, they almost look like the top of pottery. It's like somebody had like the top to a jar or something and cut the top off.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're little, little collars that, yeah, you wouldn't want to disturb, though it sounds like they're hardy. What you described to me is insane. Truly, I love the animals that you pick, because they're always something, you know, she's covering her body in a mucus layer and, you know, and I do think it's interesting that it's fertilized inside of her body, because that means that these snails are, they're hooking up, right? That's what that means, mm-hmm. right? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Love to hear it. And so if you see these things, don't touch them, I think would be a good thing to say, right?
Yeah, yeah. Do yourself a favor and Google both what a Lewis's moon snail looks like and what their egg cases look like. And you might recognize that you've seen the egg cases before. And you could go and try to look for the moon snails out in the mudflats of Humboldt Bay. Kind of like sandy mudflats, not super muddy, because the clams like to live in sand. But go and look at the low tide and They're really awesome to see.
So you mentioned king salmon. Where else would be a sandy mud flat?
Yeah, well, so I was just looking on iNaturalist to see where other folks have seen moon snails. King salmon seems to be the main place, which is interesting. But folks have seen their shells wash up all up and down the coast, but not live ones. But I bet you they're in other places of Humboldt Bay, really anywhere where there's kind of like a sandy, muddy shoreline. But I think, I mean, the only place that I've seen them is king salmon.
Wow. This is one of those things that a lot of times when we talk about animals that you can find in Humboldt County, they're oftentimes very little or very far away. But this is like, these are really something. Like, just Googling this, this is something that I would be very excited if I happened to come upon. Like, it's worth Googling and seeing if you can see them, because these are really, really something.
Yeah, I agree. And when I saw them this last February, March, I was like, I can't believe I didn't know that these were here. I feel like this is like a big secret kept from me, that nobody told me that they were here, because they're really so fascinating to see and definitely worth a little visit down to King Salmon.
Yeah. And especially, it's one of those things that if I saw that, I would be like, that's a huge snail. And I would think that that was interesting just in general. But to know, you know, kind of what's going on, like the radula and the injecting hydrochloric acid into a clam, I don't know. That would heighten my experience to know those things.
Yeah. Yeah. And just the fact that they can like dig themselves down into the sand is pretty nuts.
Yeah. So it sounds like now, you said you saw them recently, now might be a good time to be seeing them if you wanted to go do a little trek. You said low tide?
Yeah, low tide.
Low tide around now. We need little excuses, I think, to get out in the spring, maybe on these like not so warm, sunny days. And the idea of seeing a moon snail might be enough for me.
Yeah, and I think we actually have some good low tides right now, so now might be a good time to go.
Ooh, I love to hear it. Well, do we have any sort, you could go so many different ways when it comes to this moon snail. I love the choices that you make. I know I said it, but I love the choices that you make with animals and moon snail. I will be Googling this all day long. This one's this one's really gotten my imagination. So do we have any songs that maybe would pique somebody's imagination to dive a little deeper on a moon snail?
Yeah, so the song that came to my mind is Moon Shadow by Cat Stevens. And I just was like singing that song with Moon Snail instead of Moon Shadow. I invite everybody listening to do the same.
Yeah, that's, well, and I mean, these things are big enough that they could cast an actual moon snail shadow. These things are huge. You'd have to be brave to put it in your hand, like the people who I see on the internet with them in their hand. I think I would want to see them from afar and, you know, a little Cat Stevens in my mind. So I like where you're going with this. Well, I appreciate you talking with me today, especially on such short notice as to go, are you ready? Oh my God, it's time. So,
of course.
Cool. I appreciate it. All right. I'll put on Cat Stevens. Thanks so much, Michelle.
Thank you. Bye. Bye.
I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my hands, lose my plow, lose my land. Oh, if I ever lose my hands away, I won't have to work no more. And if I ever lose my eyes, if my colors all run dry, yes, if I ever lose my eyes away, I won't have to cry no more. Yes, I'm being followed by a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow, moon shadow, moon shadow. And if I ever lose my legs, I won't moan and I won't beg. Oh, if I ever lose my legs, oh, if I won't have to walk no more. And if I ever lose my mouth, all my teeth, north and south. Yes, if I ever lose my mouth, oh, if I won't have to talk. Did it take long to find me? I asked the faithful light. Oh, did it take long to find me? And are you gonna stay the night? I'm me, I'm followed by a moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow. Leaping and hopping on a moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow. Moon shadow, moon shadow.